It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, June 16th. I'm Patricia Naft. A man died Wednesday in a rafting accident on the Roaring Fork River. Pitkin County officials say the 50-year-old man fell out of the vessel downriver from Henry Stein Park near Aspen. Rescue workers responded to the call of an overturned raft with two people in the river and CPR in progress on the unidentified male on the bank. Responders couldn't revive him. He was pronounced dead on the scene. Water levels are dangerously high in rivers across the western slope, and officials are urging caution. The Montrose County Coroner's Office has identified the body of a backpacker recovered Tuesday from the Black Canyon of the Gunnison. The body of 24-year-old Ryan Wood Moss, a Colorado Springs student, was found at the base of a cliff just off the Warner Route, a popular hiking trail. His family in North Carolina contacted the National Park over the weekend to inquire about his whereabouts. Officials say Moss received a wilderness permit for the steep, rugged trail and said he planned to return to his vehicle at the South Rim outside of Montrose Saturday. Rangers at the park are investigating what led to the apparent fall. Autopsy results are pending. A wildfire burning southwest of Montrose is now 100% contained. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
The lightning-caused old stump fire burned 33 acres of federal land between Highway 90 and Dave Wood Road. The blaze was reported on June 6. Chris Barth, a Bureau of Land Management spokesman, says the agency decided to let the fire run its course.
There was the right conditions to allow fire to help restore the ecological balance across the landscape so the area can ultimately become more resilient to future wildfire threats. At the same time, we were engaged in active suppression in the portions of the fire that were closest to private lands.
The fire burned mostly pinyon juniper woodlands. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Along with flowers, warm weather, and barbecues, summer also brings mosquitoes. Statewide agencies are now testing mosquitoes for the West Nile virus. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The West Nile virus is spread by a common species of mosquito and can cause pain, achiness, and in rare cases, even death. Several years ago, Delta County was declared an epidemic zone by the Centers for Disease Control. Chris Chinkle is with the North Fork Mosquito Abatement District, a group focused on mosquito control.
I believe that at that time, we were among the top 10 worst places in all of the United States, which is rather remarkable considering how dry Colorado is, and you'd think southern states would be worse.
It's a different story now.
Last year was the best so far. We did not have what we would classify as West Nile in the district.
It takes a certain count of the virus and the insects before they become hazardous to humans. He credits the dramatic decrease to their efforts attacking larvae as opposed to the scattered adults. His district and districts across the state are now testing for West Nile. One human case has already been reported in Larimer County. Chinkle says that this year's testing has been okay so far, but with the nearby coal mines shutting down, the district is losing property tax money that they depend on. They'll have less employees checking for the virus this year, but he still hopes to see a repeat of last year. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Fracking can produce air pollution, but many more emissions likely happen during the next stage at a natural gas well. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher reports.
Researchers with Colorado State University collected air quality data on well pads in Garfield County in 2013, 14, and 15. The idea was to closely review methane and other emissions during the stages before and after a well produces natural gas. CSU professor Jeff Collette led the study and presented results to Garfield County commissioners on Tuesday.
So we'll start with methane, and you'll see here that we have a much higher emissions during flowback than we see during drilling or fracking.
That was true for chemicals called volatile organic compounds, or VOCs. Flowback is when an operator stops fracking, and fracking fluid, plus naturally present underground water and natural gas, all start flowing to the surface. To pinpoint the emissions, Collette and other researchers carefully tracked which direction air pollution was traveling in a plume, but they found emissions switched directions almost constantly.
We were maybe a little bit naive in thinking that we could just go and sit there in the plume for hours at a time and measure what was coming off the pad.
They found emissions were largely evenly distributed on all sides of the well. Collette and his colleague found a general range for how much air pollution was present at different stages on the well pad. Now it's up to health officials to decide whether the levels detected are acceptable. They're expected to pair that data with a front range study tracking emissions on a pad producing oil or natural gas. After Tuesday's presentation, Commissioner Tom Jankowski praised oil and gas operators sitting in the audience.
I just have to say thank you to the industry, not just for the dollars you put into this, but the fact that you gave access. I mean, I really think this is unprecedented.
Out of the total $1.8 million budget, the oil and gas industry paid $700,000. Commissioner John Martin bluntly asked whether that funding affected results.
Have you been politically influenced or swayed in reference to this study by any side?
No. And I know it wasn't easy for all the stakeholders to sit back for 3 years and wait to see the findings.
Garfield County covered the remaining $1 million to fund the research. Results will be analyzed more fully and soon used as a reference by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Elise Thatcher, Aspen Public Radio News.
The last bill Governor John Hickenlooper signed into law for the 2016 legislative session was also one of the most controversial and significant pieces of legislation. As Benta Berkland reports, it paves the way for grocery stores in Colorado to be able to sell full-strength wine and beer.
Currently, grocery store chains can only get one liquor license to sell full-strength wine and beer in the state. The new law would allow more licenses over the next 20 years and eventually not restrict them at all. But grocery stores would first have to buy out any liquor store licenses located within a 1,500-foot radius. Governor Hickenlooper was hinting at a veto in the last few weeks, but he says in some ways his hands were tied.
Certainly not perfect, and I would have quite bluntly preferred the status quo, but I think in the end, the independent liquor stores really did make a strong argument.
Liquor stores worried that without the bill, grocery store chains would eventually pass a ballot initiative allowing full-strength wine and beer in their stores to be sold immediately, which would put many of the liquor stores out of business. There still are ballot proposals for this fall, but it's not clear if the grocery stores will now withdraw them. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The latest attempt to block a federal rule addressing mercury pollution from power plants has failed. Wyoming Public Radio's Stephanie Joyce reports for Inside Energy.
The mercury and air toxic standards target mercury pollution from coal-fired power plants, which are the largest source of the toxin. Mercury can cause health problems, especially in children. Last year, the Supreme Court sent the rule back to the lower courts after finding that the Environmental Protection Agency hadn't adequately considered cost when formulating the rule. The agency has since done that. But 20 states, including Wyoming and North Dakota, had asked the Supreme Court to overturn the lower court's ruling that allowed the mercury standards to stay in effect while the EPA revised its analysis. The Supreme Court declined to take up that petition this week. Coal plants can be retrofitted to filter out mercury emissions, but many power companies have chosen to shut down older plants instead of incurring the expense. It's one of several factors that have contributed to the recent decline of the coal industry. For Inside Energy, I'm Stephanie Joyce.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.